Hey, I'm Curious City producer Steven Jackson, and I want you to hear something. Obviously, the sound of church bells. You've probably heard bells that sound a lot like this, and you've probably ignored them. And you're not alone. Here at Curious City, we never paid much attention to bells either, until we met a guy who made us start thinking about not just the bells, but the bell ringers and the communities that are built around them. Coming up, we revisit a story we did a few years ago about the origins of bell ringing, plus who or what tolls the bells of Chicagoland. The answer to that is next.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
It all started with questioner Kent Olivan. One evening over dinner, Kent and his wife heard the sound of church bells wafting over from a nearby church. He thought it was pre-recorded. She thought it was real bells.
I don't know there was an argument, but she seemed surprised that maybe someone would record it. It was beautiful music, and I just suspected that there wasn't anybody who was actually playing that every night at 6 o'clock.
Then Ken started wondering, are there any churches in the Chicagoland area that have bells played by real people?
There are several churches in the Chicagoland area that have bells played by real people.
Well, there you go. That's Kimberly Schaefer, a local bell expert and a self-described bell advocate. She says bells are kind of like the first radio. In the Middle Ages, they'd ring across the whole town, and people going about their business would soak it in.
And it was also a radio in the sense that it was playing the popular hits of the day. Opera, arias, and folk songs. Other things that people would have recognized and known and liked.
And in the days before people had their own timepieces, bell ringers would let you know,
time to wake up, go to work, okay, it's time for a break, okay, time to resume work, okay, time, it's curfew, everybody go home.
But as technology, like actual clocks and actual radios, progressed, the need for bells faded away. And eventually it became easier to automate, to remove the human element. Electromechanical systems started spreading in the early 20th century. Then in the 1980s, they went digital, with pre-recorded bells coming out of speakers. But there are still some real humans playing real hand-rung bells in the Chicago area. I'm going to show you five of them. And each one has its own sound, its own unique history, and a distinct community of people surrounding it. Number one, you heard earlier. This is the chime at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Evanston. It's more than 100 years old, and it's one of only two active chimes in the area. The bells are played from the first floor with a chime stand. It's a wooden console with 9 wooden handles sticking out, each one connected by a cable to its corresponding bell up in the tower. St. Mark's only plays the chime on special occasions because their chime player is also their organist, and he's busy with that most of the time. Okay, moving right along. The second example is the Russian Orthodox ringing tradition called zvon. What is it exactly? It's hard to explain.
Zvon is just another word for ringing the bells.
Right. Philip Sokolov is the choir director at Christ the Savior Orthodox Church in River North. Every Saturday night and Sunday morning, he goes through a familiar ritual. A ritual that, according to Orthodox tradition, must be done by a person. No automatic bells allowed.
I go to Father John and ask his blessing to start the ringing. He blesses me, and I head up to the bell tower, climb up the stairs, and then climb up the ladder. Pause for a minute to gather my bearings and to think about what I'm about to do. You know, we're told that the bells are the voices of the angels calling us to worship. So it starts your sort of religious experience from even before you enter the church.
Ringing is so important to their practice that when the church didn't have a proper set of bells, they had to improvise.
When we first started, we had acetylene tanks hanging in the courtyard there.
That's the priest, Father John Baker. He's talking about those big cylindrical metal tanks used for welding torches.
So we cut the bottom off the welding tanks, hung them up, and then we beat them with ball-peen hammers. It was a small church. We didn't have much money. We still don't.
Someday, Father John hopes to buy another, bigger set of bells. For the third example of people-powered bells, I went to the Buddhist Temple of Chicago in Uptown, where every Sunday morning, they ring a bell called the Kansho to announce the beginning of service. Gary Nakai strikes the Kansho with a wooden mallet. Although it looks easy, he says it's not. What is easy is overthinking it.
The feeling that goes through your mind is, this is important, but don't screw it up. I mean, do it deliberately and pace it.
After the Kansho is rung, service begins. Inside, there are two more bells, called Dean Gongs, that the Reverend rings to punctuate the service.
Infinite wisdom and compassion surrounds all people in all forms of life.
For worshippers at the temple, the idea of automating the Dean Gongs or the Kansho is ridiculous. What's important is the ritual and the shared responsibility.
The responsibility of everybody taking part. You know, next week it's your turn. Next week someone else. So then they all feel like they're on equal footing.
Three bells down, two more to go, as Curious City traces the history of bell ringing in the Chicago area and tracks down some of the ringers of those bells. That's next.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at UChicagoMedicine.org.
Okay. The fourth example of people playing bells is called change ringing. Change, as in a change of clothes.
Change ringing, I wouldn't suggest somebody really go out of their way to listen to change ringing.
That's Tom Farthing, and believe it or not, he loves change ringing. He's been a ringer for most of his life. There's only one church in Illinois that does change ringing, St. Paul's in West Suburban Riverside, and they pack up their bells for the winter. But Farthing leads a small group of year-round amateur ringers at the University of Chicago.
Look, two. Trouble's going. She's gone.
Here's how it works. A bunch of people stand around in a circle, and each one holds a rope that connects to a bell up in the tower. They ring their bells one after another, making a waterfall of sound. But instead of ringing the same sequence every time, they switch up the order constantly, according to memorized patterns. In other words, change ringers, ring changes.
It's a little bit of mathematical, but it's mostly trusting people and working together. And when that happens, it's very, very satisfying.
It's also very, very difficult. They mess up a lot, getting out of sync, ringing over each other.
All right, yeah, let's just get a clean start.
Sorry, let me...
Whether they're struggling through a tough pattern or getting it just right, a lot of their Hyde Park neighbors don't really like the way it sounds. They've gotten a lot of noise complaints. So usually they silence the bells by wrapping the clappers in thick cloth covers. So they can hear what they're doing, they rig up their bells with digital sensors that generate quiet bell sounds, piped into the practice room through an old desktop PC.
The bells are loud, and some people find them obnoxious, and I can't fault them for that. It's meant to be a background sound. It's, bells are ringing, oh yeah, I don't have to pay attention, but I should make my way to church now.
It's like the original Muzak.
Well, I don't want to say Muzak.
She's gone.
Okay, so far we've covered the chime, zvon, the concho and ding-gongs, and change ringing. The fifth and final bell actually played by people is the carillon, a medieval bell-ringing machine.
So imagine a really large keyboard where you have batons, like broom handles, sticking out, and that's what you play with your fists.
That's Kimberly Schaefer again. In addition to knowing a lot about bells, she also plays them. I pay her a visit at St. Christostom's Episcopal Church on the Gold Coast, where she plays the prelude and postlude for Sunday service. The carillon is in a tiny stone room in the bell tower, about four stories up. Directly above are the church's 43 bells, each one connected by a wire to one of those broom-handle batons. When Schaefer isn't playing the carillon, she's working on her organization, Chicago Bell Advocates. They're a small team of bell enthusiasts. They study bells and bell history, consult with churches and universities about bell upkeep and renovation, and teach bell playing lessons.
Obviously, I think bells are important. They speak to our history. They have been used by Western society for well over a millennium, so I think we should still keep them ringing.
After the usual hymns, Schaefer switches over to something a little more contemporary. Well, a lot more contemporary. This is Sunday Candy by Chicago hip-hop artist Chance the Rapper. Mixing church bells and hip-hop might sound crazy or gimmicky, but it's kind of a throwback to the old days of bells and bell ringers, back when they were the timepieces and radios of the community, back when people actually noticed them. It's music that'll break through the modern soundscape of Chicago, and hopefully, someone will listen. Oh, and if you want to learn more about bells, what they look like, how they work, and where they are in the Chicago area, go to wbez.org/curiouscity. We've got an interactive feature with photos, videos, illustrations, and a few bell renditions of popular songs. Today's episode was produced by Joe Dassault and edited by Alexandra Solomon.
Actually, hang on, Stephen, because today's episode isn't over yet. This is Alexandra, Curious City editor, and it's actually Stephen's last week with us here at Curious City. He's headed to Portland, Maine, and we're all really, really going to miss him. Stephen's an amazing audio producer. You know, when you've listened to an episode of Curious City and thought, oh my gosh, that piece of music was just right, or wow, that archival tape, that was so amazing. Where did they find that? That was Stephen's masterful work. And he's also a really accomplished musician. He plays the bass and keyboards and probably any instrument you hand him. You might have heard some of his work and stories from WBEZ, stuff he's created through his podcast music production group. They're called Q-Shop. In fact, we're actually scoring this with his music, including what you're listening to right now. And, you know, Stephen was really always willing to do whatever it takes to find the story, whether it's driving across the Illinois-Indiana border to count lawyer billboards.
Let's go count some billboards.
Road trip!
Road trip! Hell yeah.
Spending the day with people getting vaccinated, an artist painting murals on Chicago's boarded-up storefronts. or canoeing along the Chicago River in the earliest weeks of the pandemic to find some peace and solitude for our listeners.
I love how these little trees, their branches look like they're blooming with trash.
Yeah. Is that an owl?
That looks like an owl.
That's an owl.
Whoa.
He's really, really going to be missed.
This is Jesse Dukes, and known Stephen several years, but I got to know him a lot better this year because he kind of took over the job I had been doing for the last several years and did it with more ability and grace than I ever managed. And what I really admire about Stephen is, even though he's obviously talented and he's confident and he knows his abilities, he's confident about his abilities, he also is so open to what other people have to say and what other people can offer. Safe travels, Stephen.
Hey, it's Natalie Dahlia. So I remember I started my internship in a whole pandemic, and the first thing Stephen says to me is, I know it can feel a little bit like you're always jumping in the middle of a sentence, but I would figure it out. It was going to be great. And I really appreciated that. And the other thing I really appreciate is when I have ideas for things with Stephen, I'll talk to him. He'll give me a lot of great advice, but it all boils down to you just got to start it. And I think he's got such an impulse to creativity that I'm going to really miss him as a colleague. I wish him the best of luck, and I think everyone's going to have such great experiences whenever they pull him onto their teams. Thanks for being a great coworker, Stephen.
Hey, Stephen, it's Joe. Well, I finally got a chance to work with you, and I'm so happy I did. I mean, your generosity, humility, sense of humor, and that unmatched creative flow is all so inspiring and will be greatly missed here on the team. And I'm looking forward to hearing all of the incredible storytelling and audio that you create in the future. Good luck.
Hey, this is Maggie. As the newest addition of the team, I felt so lucky to work with Stephen. What I'm going to miss most about him is his easygoing attitude, kindness and generosity, incredible talent, and head for stories that are weird and amusing. Safe travels and stay in touch.
Good luck, Stephen. Thanks for being part of the team. We'll miss you. Curious City is produced by Joe Dassault, and for a few more days, Stephen Jackson. Monica Ang is our reporter, Maggie Civet is the digital and engagement producer, and Natalie Dahlia is our intern. Curious City is supported by the Conant Family Foundation. I'm Alexandra Solomon. Thanks for listening. Oh, and Stephen, here's one final goodbye from Monica.
Hey, this is Curious City reporter Monica Ang, and this song is for Stephen Jackson. Stephen, you're gonna be leaving, so we're gonna be grieving in our soup. Stephen, we're not believing that we're ever gonna find a producer like you, but you gotta spread your wings and fly. Other audio things you're gonna have to try. Oh, but Stephen, you better be believing that Curious City is gonna be grieving. Good luck, man.
Rise and Shy, WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.